Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So we've been looking over the last few episodes at this issue of sanctification and how the Apostle Paul speaks about things of the positional sanctification of how we've been set apart because of our identity in Christ. The moment that we put our trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That there's a positional sanctification, but then there's also a discussion of some practical things of how it is that a member of the body of Christ should be living their life. And what we're going to be looking at today is going to be one of these examples of where the Apostle Paul is going to speak about, you know, one thing in particular that the members of the body of Christ should be doing, and the idea of abstaining from fornication. So we're going to be looking at the idea of what is fornication according to what the scriptures say. And so we're actually going to start here with a definition of it, and then we're going to start actually pulling some verses after we look at it. So the definition that comes from Webster's 1828 dictionary, the first one here is the incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female, also the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. The second one is adultery, and then it has the verse of Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Third definition, incest, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And the fourth one, idolatry, a forsaking of the true God and worshiping of idols. And two verses that go along with this are 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 11, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 2. Now, obviously, we're not going to be focusing on the issue of the idolatry aspect of this, but we're going to be looking at the issues of how the Apostle Paul is speaking about the sexual behavior of these individuals and warning the members of the body of Christ that there are certain things that need to be avoided, even if it is something that society is, you know, not only allowing, but also kind of, in a way, encouraging these behaviors, that this is something that a member of the body of Christ should not be participating in. You know, there were issues that were going on in Paul's day. There are issues that are going on, as we see if we look at the things of, you know, what is going on in the world today. We see how Paul actually defines these. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to see how he's going to identify this as being part of this work of the flesh. That's part of the lust that we're to be avoiding here. And in Galatians 5, we're going to start here at verse number 16, which says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So Paul, as he's writing here to these saints in Galatia, starts bringing up an issue of a contrast between the idea of walking in the Spirit and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And so even just by the words that Paul is using, we see that a member of the body of Christ cannot walk in the flesh. You know, that's not where our identity is. That's not who we are, because if that's who we are, the problem is that, you know, those that are in the flesh cannot please God, that the only things that the flesh can produce is condemnation because of the opposition to what it is that God has laid out in His Word. So we know that that's not part of who we are, but we see how there's a issue of a lust of the flesh because we still walk around in these fleshly bodies. And so because we still walk around in these bodies, the flesh has some lust and desires, and these run contrary to what God would have us to do. And so Paul has to warn us about how the fact that we need to be avoiding these things. We need to be doing everything that we can as we take in the Word of God to build ourselves up, to prepare ourselves so that way we're not giving into these lusts of the flesh, and that we can be identified as being walking in the Spirit. You know, the body, the individual is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body, and the grace of God influences the spirit of the individual to eventually bring everything else under subjection. So Paul, as he's giving this warning here, knows that this is something that is going on, something that they have to be watching out for. And you see how adultery and fornication are the first two things that Paul's identifying as being the works of the flesh. So these are the first things that they're going to have to be watching out for to make sure that they're not participating in these things. Now, we can go over here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. One of the verses that was actually identified in that, the definition that we read, and we see how as Paul is writing to the assembly in Corinth here, that he's going to be saying something about activities that are going on here. We're going to read the first verse of the chapter where it says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And as he's saying this to them, you know, and by the fact that it's, you know, it is reported commonly, means that this was something that was, in a sense, a normal part of what it is that they were doing in their life. That he's having to give them this thing of that this is what is going on, you know, in Corinth. And I'm hearing that this is even going on among those who have become part of this assembly. And he's having to say, you know, give them the information so that way they would not be participating in these things in their life. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And here we're going to have in 1 Timothy 3, we have the qualifications of, you know, the eldership of the local assembly. And you have, you know, the end part of the chapter speaks of the deacons. The beginning part of the chapter speaks of those who are, you know, looking at the position of a bishop. We're going to read the first two verses here in 1 Timothy 3 where it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." And he's going to continue on listing out all of these qualifications. Now, individuals look at that idea of those who are in positions of leadership in an assembly, and the unfortunate thing that people start looking at is they'll start saying it's a gift. They'll take the passage out of Ephesians chapter number 4, which, you know, has a end point with it, which we've already passed that end point, so it's no longer a gift. That's why you see how Paul's speaking about it's an individual desiring this. You have people speaking about how, you know, they had a dream and God came to them in a dream and told them that they were going to be a pastor, they were going to be a, you know, have this position. That's not how this works during this dispensation. That's why you have Paul speaking here and talking about an individual having this desire and then having to lay out the qualifications of it. If it was a gift and it was God choosing an individual for this, you would have a thing of where these qualifications wouldn't even have to be there because God would be choosing an individual according to the standard that he sets, and he wouldn't have to record what that standard was for us. By the fact that we have these verses here telling us this, it means that a person has that desire, a person wants to do this, and Paul's saying, okay, Timothy, you know, here are the qualifications that an individual needs to have in order to take this position. And you see how the idea of being the husband of one wife is there. And the reason why that qualification was even there is because, you know, one of the things that, you know, was going on at that time was the idea of polygamy, and that there was such a common practice that Paul had to be identifying the fact that a person's not participating in that practice because that's not what God would have an individual to do. Now, there are individuals even today who still practice the idea of polygamy. There are individuals who even, you know, have written books, you know, taking passages out of the Bible, trying to, you know, justify this type of behavior and saying, well, this is what God intends, ignoring, you know, so many other things of what God's word actually says. And a lot of this is because the world having that type of influence on individuals. And the world has a lot of influence in the idea of the sexual relationships of individual. And this happens, you know, through things of, you know, changing of words so that way it doesn't sound as bad, you know. So we use words like, you know, somebody having an affair, you know, so it doesn't sound like it's quite as bad as, you know, when the scriptures identify and call it adultery or fornication. You know, you have the way that individuals are portrayed in the media to where, you know, things of normalizing these things. You have, you know, in the school system, you know, things of sex education and it happening younger and younger with children attempting to normalize these things that God in His Word says is wrong. And this is why individuals, as we study the Word and we take the doctrine in, that we're building ourselves up so that way we are protecting ourselves from what the world system says, and also being able to teach other individuals and making sure that we are not being conformed to this world. That's why you see Paul talk about how the goal is to have that transformation, the renewing of the mind occurring as the doctrine is coming in. You see how Paul warns about the body of Christ actually becoming closer and closer to the things of this world system as this dispensation is coming to an end. You see, that's why you see the warning he gives. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, to where Paul's going to describe here in this passage issues of what it is that the body of Christ is going to look like. And so many people have taken this passage and say that this is just what the world is going to look like. Well, the world system has always looked like these things. So it can't be just the world system, because this has always been there. It has to be a description of something else, because when Paul says here, let's start here at verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now this whole description gives the aspect of that as these last days come, this is what everything is going to look like. And it's going to come about because individuals are going to get farther and farther away from what the Word of God says, and even teaching what the Word of God says. That's why you see when, after Paul lays these things out, chapter 4, he gives the answer of, okay, that this is how this is going to be prevented. You know, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And the first thing he says of that charge is, preach the word. So make sure that the word is being preached. Make sure that the word is being focused on. So that way, this is where all, because the word of God produces faith. God's word is the truth. God's word is the doctrine in how it is that we are supposed to be living our life. You know, Paul identifies and says, follow me as I followed Christ. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ through the word that had been given to him. So we are to be doing the same things of following the word that has been given to us. And that's why you see how Paul gives these things of, okay, here's the, you know, things of what it is that we are to be doing. And, you know, so much of the time, individuals don't focus on these things. They focus on, well, you know what, I'm going to, you know, we're just going to teach doctrine and teach doctrine, and people will just kind of get it, and don't spend at least some of the time on saying, okay, we need to talk about how to practically do these things. We need to talk about how it is that an individual is to be living their life in order to be pleasing unto God, living their life so that way they can build the gold, silver, precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ. How they can live the life that's going to be that light unto this world in that midst of a crooked and perverse nation. All of these different things that the Apostle Paul speaks about, and he has to say, okay, you know, here's the things of what people are going to say to you. They're going to teach you these things, but here's what the Word of God actually says. And if you're applying the Word of God rightly divided, because you can go back into the law system, and well, the law just says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and you follow that, well, you'll be okay. Well, you might be good, quote unquote, morally, but you're not going to be pleasing unto God, because the only way that God is pleased today is when an individual actually follows the doctrine as it's laid out in Romans through Philemon, applying that. If I try to apply something from the book of Leviticus to myself, God's not pleased with that. I'm only building wood, hay, and stubble, because I might be following the Word of God, but I'm not following it as the way that God would have us to follow it, which is to be following it, you know, according to the dispensational outlines. And that's why we have to study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We follow that principle of right division, so that way we know exactly what it is that we are supposed to be doing in our life, to know that this is exactly what the thing of, okay, we've got this, we've got this, we've got this, and the doctrine says that we live our life this way, and if we do this, then we're going to be pleasing unto God. Now we're going to probably finish up this discussion during our next episode here. So as we close, I just like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. How to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on anything in our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.